Good morning, Patriots. How's everybody doing today? I'll tell you, every day we wake up, we look around and we go, oh, look, a little more crazy. It's another day of that circus show. It's exactly what we're doing these days. You know, what's interesting in our time is we're living through, and I've mentioned this many times, but we're really reliving through the experience of our ancestors who built this country. Tyranny was all around them, and it was an overwhelming sense if one let it get to them. Our ancestors had the same issues that we did today. I think anybody that believes otherwise needs to read their history. Our ancestors were controlled and had to deal with controls of a massive corporation, the Hudson Bay Company. They had to deal with the power of a king, which is, we're not quite as bad there yet, but if these stooges that are up there decide to continue down this merry path, we'll get there soon enough. And anything they did against the king, they would risk being classified or accused of tyranny. And tyranny obviously was very real, and it was very punishable by death. So there was a very visceral sense of consequence in the colonial period. And there was a very real sense of consequence because people were hanged. People were put through kangaroo courts. And there's another thing. All the court systems were rigged. So if you put yourself back then and you look at the massive size of the United Kingdom, and you look at the massive size of their global reach, their army that was well equipped, and you have to ask yourself, how did they do it? And it's no different than where we sit today. We ask ourselves, how do we deal with it? And the way they dealt, the first and foremost way that they dealt with it was through some amazing pastors. Because pastors then, unlike pastors now, understood the importance of speaking in terms of faith and God and keeping politics part of the discussion, because politicians were not above God. What has happened in our era with a control so much of everything in perception by the left is they have moved the needle to a point where taking God out of government, taking God out of the daily life, has led to a perception, or I would say a misperception, that somehow government exists by man alone and that God is something other, just kind of like a side dish. And that right there is a center point of change and the center point of fault at the same time. Our biggest job, I would say, and it's a big one, it's a huge task, and it's the noble and righteous task, is as we press forward with awakening and we press forward and lean into this, it is not a place of hanging our hat on a hope of a white knight. It is a place of pushing in to fight in that path that God would want. We are in a very, we're still conflicted on many levels where we sit right now. And it's one of the reasons that everyone is just kind of needing to sit and observe right now to see what is going to happen. There are so many anomalies on such a grand scale. And if we pay attention to what the media is trying to tell us, they're trying to paint a constant picture that does only one thing, and it tries to break your will. Everything that they do, every single thing that they write, every single thing they publish is seditious. And worse yet, it's really, quite frankly, seditious to God. For that, there's accountability. And that is something that if we truly have faith, We have to have faith in that. There is justice in this world. Justice doesn't always come on a timing which we want. But there's true justice, as there is true glory. I was reading through Isaiah 49 this morning, and just some sections of passages, 21 to 25. Then you will say in your heart, Who has borne me these? I was bereaved and barren, exiled and put away. But who has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. From where have these come? Thus the Lord God says, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples. And they shall bring your sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. With their faces to the ground, they shall bow down to you and lick the dust from your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. Can the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrants be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I shall save your children. Always there is an insistence that of those words we know so well now of hold the line. We are in a, I believe, the greatest trial one could ever be put through in terms of faith. The eagerness of us wanting to extol justice balanced with the necessity for God to have us press forward with the knowledge that he will deliver justice. And that there gets into an issue of time and that line of where that line is that we cross or don't cross. 15 years, the colonists pressed forward in an undaunting pressure. It was increasingly tyrannical as the British squeezed the colonies, tried to extol more money from them. And the colonists did everything in their power of defiance. They created boycotts. They took the risk of being declared tyrants or of being classified as treasonists. And it was at that point that they forced the hand of the empire to ultimately become the violent beast that it really was underneath its skin. It was then, quite literally, in that famous quote, sell your cloak and buy a sword, but Christ says you only need two. There's a great deal of temperance in that place. Because as I read that passage, and those last words are always omitted, or should say too often omitted, in that sense of people love to quote, sell your cloak and buy a sword, but they forget the caution, and they forget the temperance, which is, but you only need two. To me, that two looks like this in real life, in our historical sense. That as they spent 15 years in a trial of pressing against tyranny until at last tyranny exposed its true nature. And it was then, at the end of it all, that the colonists then stood into that place of matching musket but with musket. But the most important piece of all of this is that it was God-led. I know many people have a hard time with that because they'll read the New Testament and they'll say, yes, but that wasn't there. There is no violence. And yes, there is. And that's always that moment when Christ flipped tables. I in no way ever advocate the musket where we are because, quite frankly, we're not there. We're not even close. We don't see the hand of tyranny. We hear the threats of the hand of tyranny, but the threats of the hand of tyranny are not tyranny. We have an obligation as we walk in this place to exploit every possible avenue in the strength and the name of God to press into tyranny, to resist and defy the tyrant's orders, and to stand boldly with God to make those stands, to live free. Those that call and rattle the sword of the sword of violence and the sword of steel at this point are nothing more than trying to stir a civil war or stir other things that are so unnecessary. And quite likely, most of those that are screaming that are missing one of two things. Either their faith is weak, or worse, they're agents of insurrection working with the other side. We are in a place right now that our faith must be built, and built boldly with such an incredible foundation, and expanding that well beyond just our daily prayer. We need to move that into the world in a way as it was in the colonial days. Keep in mind that in the end, one of the greatest forces in the colonial period, both in an awakening and in mobilizing militias, were the pastors. That part of our history is very important to grasp. It was the pastors who spoke out against tyranny boldly, who called out tyranny for what it was, to keep people understanding that God is there, but they had to continue the strength of their faith. And they had to continue that line of love of spirit and the line of truth. And as they held that line and they endured the tyranny, they began to see their own lives more clearly, more resolutely, and they were able to walk that path of the righteous. When we can truly say that the majority of us in this nation walk the path of the righteous, we have then accomplished a large part of this phase of the war. It was equally our pastors, preachers, ministers of the period, that when the line became impossible to hold in the sense of that righteous walk, and there was then began to be a place where tyranny was now ravaging without restraint, that it would no longer listen to God. The way I frame it is that it became the Joshua moment, when the walls finally fell. And it was then that even the pastors, who became known as the Black Robe, and it was one famous sermon where the pastor himself spoke of the need that comes a time to cross that line, and he took off his black robe to reveal to his congregation a colonial uniform, picked up his musket, and walked down the center aisle, and with him all of the men in the congregation stood up and joined him. There is a unity and strength that is just now beginning to awaken in our nation. We need to stand boldly against tyranny. There is no question. That is our responsibility. It is our duty to God. We have to have faith that God will lead us and guide us, and that justice will be delivered. That line, though, is what that looks like is not for us to choose. God will call as the time is, and the time is necessary for us to do as needed. Right now, in my opinion, and I'm not in any way speaking for God, in my opinion, we have a long ways to go to awaken the many in faith and to rekindle that foundation of God in our daily lives. It begins on the foundation in the family, the ability to bring prayer into the home. It begins in a place of getting the morals and values that are taught through Scripture back into our daily lives. It begins with truly walking that path of love of spirit, love of God, and a line of truth, to where we ourselves hold ourselves accountable to a place of holding that line of truth. That we must ourselves be the example of where we want others to be and where we want this nation to go. We can't affect what happens 3,000, for me, 4,000 miles away in D.C., a small little district of 10 square miles of a bunch of pencil whippers and gavel thumpers that try to proclaim what they're going to do in my life. And that's where the colonial spirit has to be revived in each and every one of us, as we are each righteous within that walk of God, and that we are each standing boldly every day within that walk of God. And in doing so, we stay boldly in our communities and we transform our communities. If each and every one of us commits that path and works through the process of reclaiming the pieces of our communities that need to be done, and that's a larger discussion than this morning, that includes resetting the elected officials to being constitutional. It involves becoming active in our communities to hold them secure and found and aligned with what the true Constitution means. As we develop that awareness and that alignment in our local communities, we begin the process of reclaiming our rightful place in liberty and the walk and promises of the God gifted us in this world. It is our duty with God to be that righteous and that forward-leaning. It's an easy movement. It's an easy moment to switch and say, I shall pick up a whip, so to speak, or a musket. It's a very different moment when those tools that we threaten become the real tools of war. Talk is cheap, and there's too often a lot of lip service to match the threats of a tyrant with counter threats from others. And there's a huge moment that happens when those lines suddenly become one in which we, the people, have to truly stand in a place with the musket or the sword. To me, that's also part of Christ's warnings. When sell your cloak and buy a sword, and he says, but you only need two. It's a caution. It's a warning. As the same when he said when Judas betrayed him and he reminded them that he could call upon Father to bring down 1,000 angels. It's a decision we make. To me, the greatest decision we have ahead of us is to choose a path of boldly walking with God, as difficult as it is at times, to trust in him. And in doing so, I believe that we separate ourselves from the control of tyrants. These tyrants that we are witnessing are not like, at least not yet, the tyrants that our colonialists, our founding fathers, our ancestors lived through. We haven't yet seen the dark hand ravage lives. Not yet, and let us hope that it does not. So that place there is a place where we must, in my opinion, stand boldly with the Lord and try to walk that amazing path that's set before us, which is a path, a different path, built on the compassion for one another. A path that's built in a way that separates us from their control. Because the one part of tyranny is that if no one pays attention to it, it has no power. That's an extremely important point here. We give to them what they take. And if we give all of our love and our commitment and our pathway to God, what is it that they can take from us? These are not easy walks that we make. God did not make a world that would be easy. What he asked, though, most of all, is to trust in him and to walk with him. And in doing so, let me show you an amazing life ahead. And through that, we gain access to the gifts of our true inheritance. Having walked in the place of war, having seen firsthand what war can do and the sort of violence that it can bring, this is actually a very peaceful time for me. It's challenging. It's a place that challenges us all. But it's a place of the greatest opportunity and, to me, the greatest gift one could ever be offered. And it's a gift of being able to walk in a place where, instead of having to worry about rounds shooting over your head, things exploding, people dying, that you can make a choice to be strong, to stand within your faith, stand boldly in that light of Christ, and to choose quite literally that decision of whether you want to be truly in that light of Christ or whether you want to fall within the type of warfare they want you to fight. We need to see the strength of people first and foremost standing together in the boldness and all the courage it takes to be in prayer and walking that line of truth. Every place that evil has arisen is a place where people have not stood up to evil. And when we stand up to evil together, evil doesn't like to be exposed. It doesn't like light. Because once it's exposed to light, it stays as light. Every place that people have retracted back, evil has taken hold. And then they start screaming for help for somebody else to fix it. But that's just it. This world doesn't get fixed by somebody else. Through us, God works. Through our strength that we stand with Him, God works. And the more boldly that we stand with God, in my opinion, the more boldly justice is delivered. Imagine a nation where 74 million people who voted for a president didn't cower back, didn't go quiet after an event of November 3rd was stolen from them. Imagine a nation where 74 million people committed to becoming more public, having more rallies, becoming louder, and most above all, became more vocal about the love of God, the prayer and the hymn in the public square, and the call for unity through God Almighty. Imagine a nation that could be revived at its very soul by 74 million people who voted for a man that they truly love. Patriots, it is time. It is truly time that we begin again to awaken in the rallies, to have our own, to stand boldly in the public square with God and prayer and singing hymn. I will be the first to tell you that when all of that has been done with 74 million people strong and we rock this nation to its core, we rock those disbelievers, we rock those that think that Luciferian rules can rule, and we put them on their heels with such fear and trembling of God Almighty Himself. If it is then that all of that fails, that's not weakness. That is the greatest strength we could possibly have. If it's then that a musket must be taken, God will lead us. But we have a long ways to go. And it's the true strength of the warrior that understands that boldness in the face of evil begins with being able to simply stand. So I encourage you, all of you, daily, to organize, to communicate, to begin bringing, even if it's a few, the few bring the many. Bring prayer to the public square. Bring rallies in defiance of this tyranny in the name of God. Bring those rallies to the public square and into the open. Let us see the 10,000 vote rally again. Let us see the people that rally at an assembly. Not because he's there, meaning President Trump, but because he is there, meaning God Almighty. Let us do that in the legacy of what he gave us. And let the world see that no matter what they do or try to do, to our great president. The spark and fire is greater than him, for it is the spark and the fire of God Almighty, and we are bringing God back to this nation. To me, when we do that, we are now fighting in the way that God would expect us to, ask us to, and from there he will lead us to whatever that fight is like. We must never forget the story of Jericho. Joshua and his armies walked for 7 days around a city, and on the seventh day, 7 times. And it was only then that the walls fell. But up until then, they walked that city and its outer walls, singing prayer and hymn and praising God Almighty. Let us walk these lines now, boldly, with 74 million strong, in the name of God, singing prayer and hymn, in the name of God Almighty. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this time, this 1st of February, a time for us to again awaken, allow us to see clearly in this path ahead, to cast aside our fears, to stand boldly with you and hear you as your children. Lord, in these moments, give us the strength, the courage, not to cower behind a musket, but instead to stand boldly in the face of evil in your name. Let us bring prayer and hymn into this public square. Let us unite truly in the glory of all that you are and the glory of our King, Jesus Christ. Let us walk that path as Christ walked, boldly in the face of evil, never wavering, choosing that path, to stand boldly in evil in prayer and hymn, and to let you cast your power and justice upon this world to truly see the walls fall. Let us put trust in you in a way that we have never done, not just for our personal walk in life, not just in the place where we seek to have you guide us, but in a place where we work through you, with you, stand united in your name, in your fold, in your love, in your power, in your wrath, in your infinite love, fearlessly to be seen, to be heard, to hear the echoing roar of what it is for you to be present in this world with us and to let evil cower and grovel at your feet. Let us be that. Let us each walk that path together with the courage and strength that Jesus Christ did, as a reminder to us always that faith is not a walk of ease or convenience, but it is bold, it is courageous, and it is the ultimate stance of the warrior. Awaken, Lord, the fire of the warrior within us. Give us that strength to be the warriors of your era, your time, your need, in this amazing moment in history where we reclaim our country through the strength of prayer and faith, and in these words, in God we trust. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. An amazing time to live, patriots. A truly amazing time. And there are choices that we each have. And the greatest choice begins every day of whether to succumb to fear or to live free. I choose every day to live free, to live in the light of God, to walk that powerful place of the love of God and the love of Spirit and the line of truth. Do not waver. Hold that line. And when we do, and we do that together, the world shakes. The walls fall. And those that have hoveled in behind the walls, as in Jericho, their power is removed. And in the end, we win, and we win as God wins. Have a blessed day, Patriots. I'll see you in 30 minutes. We're doing, in 30 minutes, in the next show, we're doing Federalist Paper number 9 today. I thank you all for being here. Walk boldly in the light of Christ. Be strong. Bring prayer and faith into this world. We are the remnant for a good reason. Let's not forget why we're here. Until the next time, head up, eyes forward, never bow to evil. Always press into the fight. Above all, pray, and pray a lot. This is God's time, and we're here to fight with Him. God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your head. Revolution.